Hello and welcome to this edition of Patrolling the Channel, a podcast to help you, the security solution provider, better serve your customers. I'm Eric Parizeau, and it's great to have you with us. There has been increased emphasis recently in the IT industry on Internet Protocol version 6. IPv4 is the de facto standard, but experts say the transition to IPv6 must happen now. That's because the number of IP addresses is running out under the old system. Plus, IPv6 promises to usher in a host of new internet and network services not widely available today. But are there security concerns with IPv6? And what's the angle for security solution providers? Joining us today to talk about IPv6 and IPv6 security issues is Guy Snyder, Secure Communications Program Manager for ICSA Labs, an independent product assurance unit of Verizon Business. Guy, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome, Eric. Thank you for having me.
Before we discuss the channel angle, get us up to speed on IPv6. How quickly are we running out of IP addresses, and what happens when we do?
We are running out at a fairly quick pace. One estimate would say that we could run out as early as 6 months. Other estimates estimate that we could go as long as 18 months. So you see that we have little time here with addresses for IPv4. And when we do run out, what that means is that there will be some businesses that may have trouble getting addresses without going to IPv6. So businesses that are very static should be okay. It's the businesses that are growing and expanding their businesses, adding new addresses, adding new offices that need new infrastructure and new IP addresses are the ones that should be concerned.
The government has had an IPv6 implementation program in place for several years. What is that mandate in a nutshell, and will it speed IPv6 adoption beyond the government?
Yes. The government has been using IPv6 within their Department of Defense for several years. And one of the main areas that moves it forward is with NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology. And this department basically lays out the groundwork for what agencies need to do with technology. And they have laid out a IPv6 program that tests IPv6 products for use within all areas of government. This program kicked off at the end of last year, 2009. So any products purchased for IP use after July 2010, agencies are required to have their products tested to make sure they are properly conforming to the specifications that NIST laid out. As of September 30th of this year, the federal CIO issued a letter which set some deadlines for the federal government, forcing the agencies to move forward a little quicker and giving them deadlines as to what they need to do with IPv6 within the agencies.
For the average enterprise, what is involved with transitioning to IPv6? Specifically, is new hardware required?
In most cases, there will be new hardware, and I wouldn't necessarily use the word required. What happens in a lot of cases is that the industry will be looking to upgrade their hardware, and at the same time, they'll be looking to buy hardware that has IPv6 capabilities. However, in some cases, if hardware does not need to be acquired because it's not old enough, it doesn't need to be replaced, it's possible that it just needs to have a update to the code on the piece of hardware that will have IPv6 capabilities.
Generally speaking, Guy, what's the range there in terms of how old or new a device would have to be to have that option, that upgrade option?
So typically 3 years is a general good rule of thumb that a piece of hardware would have to be replaced.
The angle for security solution providers is that IPv6 is intended to improve IP-based security mechanisms. However, a recent IPv6 study funded by the European Commission found that both version 4 and version 6 are using the same security protocols. That's it. How can IPv6 improve security for enterprises, and what may be keeping it from living up to its billing regarding security?
So that is correct. The same security mechanism that is offered for IPv6 has also been available for IPv4, which is IPsec. Some are saying that, therefore, IPv6 does not offer any improved security. However, there is an argument to be said with the implementation of IPv6. There will be enforcement of the implementation of IPv6 from a host-to-host perspective, which in the past in IPv4 we haven't done. So I think with the implementation of IPv6, we are going to have better security only from the implementation perspective. I believe that when we implement IPv6, many agencies in the federal government and possibly industry also are going to take advantage of further development on the OS level. And what this really is going to do is going to provide true security end-to-end. And I don't see this as something that will be done over all the host-to-host communications, but I see this as something that will be used quite a bit. And most of the communications we have today is more gateway to gateway that is securing a network.
So for security solution providers, how can they help both government agencies and private sector enterprises with their IPv6 transitions? Where do you think the opportunities exist?
So I see a great opportunity for security providers. The vast amount of security products on the market today are in a various state of transition. So many products have all the features of IPv6. You have to remember that IPv6 has numerous number of RFCs from the IETF. These are request for comments, which are basically the standards that we implement protocols by. So with IPv6, there are numerous numbers of protocols that are implemented as a result of IPv6. And therefore, as vendors implement IPv6 on their products, they do it in steps. And so they'll implement the basic functionality of IPv6, and then as time goes on, they'll implement more and more RFCs. And that means functionality of IPv6 into their products. So what security providers can do is help the end user understand what's actually in a product. Because all the vendors tell an end user is that it's IPv6 capable. And to an end user who doesn't understand the full technical aspects of what that means, it's hard for them to decipher what that functionality is in a product. So the security providers can fulfill a great need there in deciphering what IPv6 capable means to an end user.
Now, regarding those RFCs, it sounds like those are essentially emerging product features that may be coming down the road. For an example, let's talk about, say, a new IPv6 firewall is being implemented in an end-user enterprise. What are some of those emerging RFCs that solution providers can help their customers keep track of?
Well, there's really not ones that are necessarily coming down the road. These are ones that might be existing today, but yet not have been implemented into products. There's very few. We are adding a few more RFCs year to year in the IETF. However, it's really the basic functionality and add-on functionality that has existed for the last 10 years that they may not have implemented. It just takes time for vendors to implement it into their products. So what they do is they just start out with the very base functionality of communication for IPv6, and then they'll add things like addressing. There's different types of addressing that they can deal with within IPv6. DHCP clients for other functionality that they need. So those types of things may be things that aren't in the initial implementation of the product. The other thing that they can help a end user with is many of the products that were implemented early on with IPv6 implemented what we call type 0 routing headers. This was an early security hole that was part of the protocol when IPv6 came out. And some of the, as I've talked to vendors, some of these vendors have not fixed that security hole. So this is another area where security integrators can help in finding out whether that security hole still exists in products that have been around for a while.
How serious are the type 0 routing headers vulnerability issues?
Oh, it's a very big, serious issue. It's so serious that the IETF actually, when they first implemented that, it was in the RFCs, and they actually issued another RFC to deprecate type 0 routing headers. So that's how serious it was. It was not the type of thing that they wanted to leave out there for future implementations.
Finally, it sounds like there's certainly a lot of technical detail, minutiae, if you will, regarding IPv6 technology and security in particular. What sort of training should the channel look into regarding IPv6, and where are some resources they can find that detail?
The Internet Society that I'm a part of is one, the North American V6 Task Force is another organization that is pressing IPv6 forward and has a great reputation for having conventions and speakers that give you more information about this. So there's many areas that they can reach out and call people. We have web pages on our site. There are many web pages out there for that. So there's lots of resources for IPv6 to gain the knowledge. And this is a different protocol than IPv4. And we all have to learn IPv6 to understand all the security problems that might come up as this becomes the predominant protocol in the future.
Guy Snyder, Secure Communications Program Manager for ICSA Labs, thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you, Eric.
And thanks to all of our listeners. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover in an upcoming edition of Patrolling the Channel, definitely let us know. You can email us at editor@searchsecuritychannel.com. That's editor@searchsecuritychannel.com. And don't forget to check out our entire podcast archive. Just search for Patrolling the Channel. Until next time, I'm Eric Parizeau. Stay safe out there.